to find a certain spot that I'd said something. And I went over it, and as I heard what was said, I said, my goodness, did I say that? Well, it was my voice on the tape. I must have said it. I'd forgotten I said it. It wasn't in the notes. It was something that was filled in between. So this morning, I'm going to deliberately take a little more time and yet cut the message back, dealing with what we took last night so that you really know where you stand. See, you follow by now that when I begin teaching on the presence of God as strong as I did, thank you, appreciate that, in 1977, roughly 14 years after the seals were broken to us by the distinct presence of God Himself coming down into the church, standing with the prophet so that all mysteries would be revealed and the word brought to pass where all the mysteries and time had run out. And I found, to my own satisfaction, that Brother Branham was preaching from Ephesians chapter 1, especially verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And he categorically said in Daniel 70th week. Now, I'm repeating this, and I expect you, if I asked every single person who has attended this church on a fairly regular basis, and I were to say to you this morning, I want you to give me back in a quote, the best you can. Verbalize it in your own way. It doesn't matter what you say as long as you're literally saying what the prophet said. I do not hesitate this morning to point my finger at any one person. Except my whipping boy, I don't see him. Where's Gene? My whipping boy isn't here. Well, I would point my finger and say, Gene, tell me. Gene is back there, but I won't make him. But tell me what quote it is of Brother Branham's that mentions that spirit of wisdom and revelation coming into the church. And he would have to repeat back to me, Lee, that is in Daniel 70th week, and how well I know it. That spirit is to come into the church. And that spirit absolutely is given to bring the church in by revelation and revealing the hour in which it is living. And it will come as the angel came to Daniel to make known the deep secret things of God. Now, I want to ask you this morning, and I'm dealing mostly with brethren. How many of you brethren can actually repeat back to me in your own words what I have said? Now, if you can't say it, I'm sorry for you. I'm going to whip you. Now, I'll bring you together. If I have to spend all my strength, I will bring you together, and you will sit here, and you will listen, and you will learn. Because let me tell you, before there is steam in a steam engine, the parts must be assembled. This is the mechanics. Amen. There is nothing God or I or anybody can do for you unless there is something to be done to. In the beginning, God sat there and He plumbed His depths for trillions of years before one move was made by God, and God demanded of Himself there was a creation to be made to whom He could communicate Himself, and they communicate back to Him. And let me tell you, what they would communicate back to Him would be what God had communicated to them. You follow me? Now, that's why I'm a little rough. Not in my voice. And not in my spirit. But in my mind. That must be hard. All right. We read this revelation, the eyes of it would be in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, let me just talk about that a second. You didn't hear me say that last night. Let me talk about this. I said God plumbed His depths. Was there anything outside of God? No. Then what would God do if there were a creation? He would have to make that creation intelligent to the place spiritually where He would be intelligible to them. Then what would He communicate to them? The knowledge of Himself. Right? Well, what else could he communicate? Oh, you say, Brother Bailey, he could make, he could make snowballs. They could have snowball fights. He could make popcorn. They could have popcorn balls and sit down and chop behind a fireplace. Wouldn't that be interesting to God? What do you want out of people yourself except a communication from your inner self and you come into a realm of a oneness or a communication? See? What did Dale Carnegie said? The one thing people wanted above everything else, at least when they were in a certain age, to make friends. Why do you want friends? Because you can gouge them? You get gouged back. So you can clobber them? You get clobbered back. Why do you want friends? Huh? Friends. That's right, that's God. What would he communicate but himself? I watch. That's why it's a revelation of the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your heart being enlightened. You know, revelation is the greatest thing in the world. There's nothing will touch it. You know, what people do you like best? The people you can just sit with and feel good. Even they can fool you. Ha! They can fool you. But you still like it. And when you look back, even when those people could become enemies, there's one thing that hurts above all else. And that was, you felt there was something there. And it got blown. That's the way God was with his creation. There was something there, and the devil blew it. The archangels blew it. You see what I'm trying to tell you? God wants to be friends. He wants to be known. The inscrutable God is not as inscrutable as people would like to believe. He can be known. And he wants to be known. That is why he is here today. That this which God had in his heart, and Christ was the heart of God, he would now place in your heart and mine a revelation, a knowledge. Now watch. To know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. He wants you to know something about him that he has in himself, either created or purchased and made available. That your friendship would not be based upon, and listen to my words carefully, a sucker relationship. How many, now I'm going to be, I don't want to hurt, but how many marriages are sucker relationships? Come on now. See, look at folk, I use an expression which you understand. I said, Christ spilled his guts. I spill my guts. If you will ever stand in judgment because of Lee Bayless, for one reason, he's never held back a card or turned a card face down. Some of you brethren are too slick at doing that. You get over it this morning, you're going to die spiritually. Lay every card on the table face up. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not preaching in vain. My life is ebbing away. I could be taken shortly. I don't know. I'm just telling you this. I'm not normally this way, but something's happened where I can't help myself anymore. Every card must be laid face up, and there are marriages that are sucker relationships. The woman will use the man for his advantage, her advantage, and he will use her for his advantage. This is why some men marry the boss's daughter. This is why men get involved with sex queens. They're sucker relationships. God does not have a sucker relationship. He did not call me to use me, to abuse me. He called me to his heart, to love me. The revelation of this hour. That's what it's all about. To show what he is to us, what he has for us, what lies there. And then he said, Number two, I'm going to resurrect the dead and bring them with you living. And I'm going to change you. And I'm going to take you up above every authority. We despise governments. We're not to, but we do. And you know why we despise them? Because the government has a sucker relationship to us. We're the suckers. As Paul Harvey said, tell me a difference between America and Russia. There is no difference. The Russians go in there with their dictatorship and Politburo. And they tell the people, we are going to do what we want. But the American politicians say to the electorate, vote us in, we will work for you and do your will. The minute they get in there, they thumb their noses and they care nothing about you and me. They are liars. It is a sucker relationship. Churches. Nicolaitanism, sucker relationship. God doesn't have sucker relationships. If you're a fool for Christ, it is only that you stand unique in the world, listening to His voice, obeying His will and believing Him. It'll pay off. A fool for the sake of Christ, but what lies in Him, you will reap. The world calls you a fool, but God doesn't. The world calls you the offscouring, but He said, elect, foreknown of God and precious in His sight. Resurrection coming up. What quote did Brother Branham give on that? And I would ask you this morning, especially the men, because you're the ones that would have to teach your wives, and there should be family worship, there should be family discussion, there should be these things. Where do you stand this morning? That's right. I mean it. I'm not lying to you. If I condemn myself in saying this, I'll stand here condemned. I better stand here now than be condemned later on. I better confess now and make it right. And I ask you, where did Brother Branham say, and what did he say about the fact of a resurrection? And what does he say? He said, in the evening time it shall be light. Oh, hold it. But that's what it says up here. About the revelation, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. The revelation of Him coming into the church in order to cause a separation. In order to cause a division, to bring out a bride, and to bring her into that revelation, to let her know the hour in which she is living, and you can't shake her. No way can you shake her. And the deep secrets of God become manifest as God Himself reveals them to us by His Spirit. But Brother Branham said, in the evening time it shall be light. At the time of the revelation, that's revelation brought about how by the Spirit, that's when comes Christ. Now, he's not saying that's when comes Christ, when there is light. He said in the evening time is when Christ comes down bringing the light, because He is the light. And He comes down and He says Christ, then He says Holy Spirit, and then He gives the appellation Jesus comes down and sets Himself at the head of the church. Then He will resurrect the church being His own body, headship to body. Holy Spirit coming down to take all authority and all dominion and all power over the bride. But it's not a sucker relationship. That's what I tried to show you last night. So we understand now then, there are two tremendous divisions here in this little portion of Scripture. And that is number one, revelation by the Spirit of God. Number two, to those to whom He has revealed Himself. And the deep mysteries and that which came forth out of Him, embodied in the Logos, as the Logos came forth, veiling Himself in materiality, but at the end time, veiling Himself in Word, expressing Himself perfectly, so we see Him formed by the literal delineation of the Word of Almighty God here. Seeing with our ears, down deep within the soul understanding, and that revelation calls a bride to the resurrection. And you couldn't beat it out of her if you killed her, boiled her in oil. She stands there with the revelation because the head is now with the body. You know, we've been a bodiless head to a great degree, wandering around with our own insensitive way, our own sensibilities, our own understanding, our own things. We wandered around, but we're not wandering anymore. A sense of direction has set in. As Brother Branham said, that little dove that they released during the war, shot at, scarred, and marred. Our souls are scarred. They've been marred. But there's a homing sense this morning. Amen. Pride will not be turned aside. Amen. No way. Amen. Mm-mm, no way. The revelation has set in. I could tell you something this morning, but I'd shock you. There's no use shocking you because you wouldn't understand yet at this point. But it has set in, my brother, my sister. Height nor depth, death nor life, principality, angels. Nothing will separate. And it is not out here in the realm and saying there's something out there so wonderful, so powerful. Yes, that great thing I attribute to God, that He will stand there and He'll sort of, oh, listen, you've missed it entirely. He's here right now. Amen. And there'll be no separation. You're not looking at an event out there. You're not looking at an authority or power out there. You're looking at the reality. Nothing will separate. Nothing will. That hand comes down over the mind. And somehow the mind cannot think anymore in a certain channel. Somehow there is no way to go back to that. It's all gone and done for. It's a preview of that day at that great supper when no more tears will be shed, when the veil is pulled down and there's no more remembrance. Why should there be? There's nothing to remember. Man has a propensity which is terrible to remember evil far more than blessing and far more than joy. It's going to take God to Himself to pull the curtain down. And He's doing it today. Yep. He's doing it today. I can prove it to you. Can you go back to your creeds and dogmas? Can you ever think again of an eternal hell? Can you ever think again of three gods? Can you ever think again of those things which are given in Scripture, such as falling away, that people have utilized to their own foolish ends when the prophet stood here and said, there is an eternal security which is in Him, a real one? Can you go back? A hand comes down and pulls a shade down, and you said, it's not even worth thinking about. I'm going to tell you something. It's got to the place, whether you know it or not, you can't even argue with those who believe different. Amen. You've lost your arguments. You don't argue about a thing. Are you going to argue about this light? Stand there and call it incandescent, call it this, call it that, call it... I just go ahead. I'm not interested. It's a light. There's no argument anymore. Why should you argue? You can argue the point where you can argue you're not even here. In other words, you can become a fool. Everyone outside of Christ is a fool. It won't work now. The prophet said, though gave us those two quotes, and he is saying, and he has said, there is a very real and definite visitation of the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, the fullness of God coming up through the ages is now in a complete, satisfactory, full form, veiled by the full Word of God. The fullness of the Holy Spirit, the person, the fullness of the person, call it what you will, is in the church. Just before the resurrection, when He, the Holy Spirit, will bring the needed promised revelation, which He has not yet given to the church, nor can give to the church until that time. And we saw that it didn't mean it was a revelation apart from what was already there. We understand that. And if I were to ask you this morning, what could we possibly mean about this Spirit coming into the church at this hour? Giving a revelation. Isn't the Bible full? Isn't it all there? Yes, it is. But Paul said, we speak the Word of God in a mystery. Now, mystery does not mean something hidden you cannot understand. It simply means that God gives the revelation of it, and it's water clear, crystal clear. Amen. The elements of confusion are gone. He said, I do not speak to you in parables, and I do not speak to you in similes. I do not speak to you in metaphors anymore. I speak clearly. And I'll tell you when He spoke clearly. And they said, now we know you don't use parables. Now we know we're in the light. Now we know. And one of the most obscure passages in the whole Bible is what they said, now we know. What was it? He said, I have been with you a while. And you've looked at Me intently and wondered. And He said, I'm going away. And you'll wonder. But He said, I'm coming back and you'll look at Me intently again. For I came from God. And I go to God and I'll come back from God. And they said, Now there's no more mystery. You hear what I said? That's in the book of John. I wish I'd have brought a liberal translation and expanded and read it to you. You'd understood a little better. And they said in that hour, and they said, now you're not speaking in parables. Do you know they had a revelation? It's the same revelation this morning, and that same Logos that came from God and went back to God has come down again right here. And now there are no more mysteries. And yet people look around and they're confused. And they say, wonder this and they wonder that. They wonder the anything. My brother, my sister, why do you wonder when He, the Creator and the Maintainer, is here? What is to wonder? What is to wonder? That's why I said all these years, don't get fussed up, don't probe, don't reach. And the prophet said, the harder you try, the further you'll miss it. And the hour that you really think you got it, that is when you haven't. But he wasn't talking a revelation. He was talking about a man probing. See, Jesus said, don't run here and don't run there. For the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He said, it'll be under your noses. And unless it's revealed, you won't see it. But when it's revealed, now if we know he's here, he has spoken plainly, there are no more parables. In other words, what's to say when he is here? Nothing. Nothing that's that's going to be hard to understand. Now, we see therefore, as we explained to you in Ephesians 3, 1 to 7 last night, Daniel 12, 1 to 4, Revelation 10 and 4, fulfilled in Revelation 22 and 10, Isaiah 43 to 8, fulfilled in Luke 3, 3 to 6, and then even Jesus Christ himself, a fulfillment of the very word of Almighty God. It would come as a revelation. It would be definitive and minuscule. In other words, let us understand this. There is nothing blah about God. Nothing. And I am referring to God in his mentality. Not that he's universal mind, but he has a mentality. There is nothing about God that is scattered. There's nothing about God that is weak. Brother Branham said, if God had one thought about anything, that thought could never change. It could not be weakened. It could not be strengthened. He could not add to it because God stands there. So we're looking at this very thing this morning. That this revelation, when God gave it, was perfect in minuscule. You take an egg and a sperm. What lies in them? Let me read it to you so you'll understand. There are 23 chromosomes. The mother has and father has it combined, can combine in over 8 million ways. Great. That's chromosomes. All right. What about the genes? There are 1,250 genes. Combine chromosomes and genes. And you can bring forth, actually out of that combination, one, followed by 9,031 zeros. Let us liken the egg and the sperm to a revelation. And you see the minuscule. And out of that, there is a combination of facts and a child that can come forth one way out of one with 9,000 zeros. Do you follow what I'm saying? Give me one revelation to God in this book, Sperm and Egg. It could have as many as one with 9,000 zeros behind it, breaking forth over the horizon. You follow what I'm saying? Then listen. What we're talking about here in this book is even greater and grander because we're talking about the genes of God. It would take one followed by 9 trillion zeros to begin to plumb the entire depth It's an unfolding revelation. And it says here that what has already been revealed, there'll come a time when as the baby is formed in the womb, first that little bit, then into the spine, and then on down, there will come a time the heart will be formed in that baby. The same with the revelation, there'll come a time when this is formed. There'll come a time when that is formed. And there'll come a time when the other is formed. It will be the same revelation as the baby is growing, but it takes the full 9 months. So with this of God, there is a revelation which starts sperm and egg, barely to be seen, but it begins to grow. And in this hour of the resurrection, there will be that revelation there. That hasn't changed one little bit. It is the same definitive revelation, but it has grown and will grow as God breathes upon it, become greater and brighter. As God started with the Logos within Himself, brought forth that Logos, which in Him would be all creation, the light began to form. What was there before? I don't know. Was it dark? I can't tell. But light began to form. And then He formed vast areas of water, I suppose. Vast areas of land, gases, God knows what, I don't know, began forming and forming and forming, and He's not through yet because He's going to dissolve it and reform it. You see, that's revelation. That's why it's here, that at this time, for this reason, the baby didn't need a heart until a certain time, perhaps. The baby didn't need skin until a certain time. This is that time that this is necessary. So He comes in revelation, and then you'll notice that He comes in power to put into manifestation that which He instigated. See, that's what we're looking at here. All right. We notice something else. And that I showed you so many times, that Ephesians is in three sections. What are the three sections? Can you go to those three sections this morning and say, sure, Brother Vale, I can read from 1 to 11. I can go to 12 and 14 included. And I'll start with 15 and go to the end of the page, the chapter. And even then, there's some sections in there. See? Notice, in the first section, Paul delineates and shows the vast scheme of God. And then he said, you people, I want you to know, for trillions of years He sat there. And in those trillions of years He saw you. And today you are the manifested, revealed Word of God for this hour. And Paul said, I hope, because you're full of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, and love unto all the saints. He said, you show that atmosphere that precedes the resurrection. And when he saw the atmosphere, he said, oh my, my, he said, they got to be right for the resurrection, but they weren't. It was just the atmosphere. Because He had not come. You see, you can get a little bit twisted up in your thinking. That atmosphere in this age cannot come until He is here. But it's going to come into the church. And when Paul saw that, and let's face it, the Logos was standing there because Paul was getting this epistle from him. Now, you've got Logos. Revealer. You got Him who raises the dead. You got that Spirit in the church. Now Paul says, I hope He comes into the church. He was out there standing. Not knocking at a door, but today He's out there. He was out there standing, knocking at a door. But the Logos never came into the church. He stood with the prophet. Today the Logos who stood with the prophet has come into the church. Now when that Spirit comes in the church and is beginning to move, I've seen it, I feel it. And I will say this, and do not take me wrong. I know of no church that I visit at this hour, where that same spirit is, as I understand and feel, is in this church, I don't know. I may be partial, I may not be partial. But I can sit here and suddenly tears begin to flow. Contrary to my nature. And I know something is happening. And I watch people, and I know something is happening. And on one hand, I get so happy. On the other hand, I get so scared because some of you are trying so hard. Don't try hard. It's not going to do you any good. The Creator is here. The former, F-O-R-M-E-R, He who forms and molds is here. Once the church was fashioned by the devil, but this church is being refashioned by God. See? As the woman marries up and the man marries down, he who took upon himself the human form of leaving Godheadedness to become a man, he has not done it this hour. He has retained his Godheadedness and come down and married beneath him. Watch what I'm saying. He is spirit. We are flesh. But he's going to change the flesh into a spiritual flesh. He's doing it now. He's married down. I'm glad he's married down. That takes care of my problem. It may add to his, but he asked for it. I didn't. If he's willing, ceremony said, will you take this little old bride down here to be your lawful wedded wife? And if he says, I will, man, when it comes my turn, I'm going to be more than willing. I'll just jump right in his lap. Amen. Amen. He'll know. I'll tell you, if I was a woman, met a man like that, and he said, I'll do it. I wouldn't wait for the preacher to ask me if I'd do it. I'd just jump right in his lap right now and say, kid, you got me. He says, no, it's no way. Sir, I tell you, some of you men are smart. You knew a good thing when you saw it. Some of you didn't. Incidentally, I'm quoting history. That ought to hold you. If it doesn't, you ask me sometime later, next month, what I meant, and I'll say I forgot. Now, Paul says the Spirit may come into the church. He wasn't a prophet who was not astute. He knew, but everything was so propitious. And Brother Branham, in the same condition, would say, maybe 100 years from now, maybe 25, but maybe tomorrow. Paul said he may. Not that he had to, like over there in Hebrews 6. We'll go on to perfection if God permit, but God didn't permit. I'm going to tell you something. The Ephesian church never had the revelation we have today. No, they didn't. They didn't see the Logos lifted. Wasn't seen for 2,000 years. Brother Branham sent me a private tape that should not have been released, but the brother released it. And it's done great good since it was released. And it caused great deception for good. Hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? It caused great deception for good. That goes over your minds, but you understand. I'm telling you the truth. In that tape, he said, you see, Lee, God has not spoken lip to ear to a prophet for 2,000 years as he did to Moses and Paul until this hour. The Logos was with the prophet. When the prophet left, the Logos stayed. Because it was in 63 he came into the church. He was knocking before and forming around him that which message the prophet was giving us, as the prophet stood out there with that Logos. But when he opened those seals, the Logos came right in. And he's not leaving until he raises the dead. Do you realize then the resurrection is in the midst of us? The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. He's among you. Amen. Then you're breathing atmosphere of resurrection. You're breathing atmosphere of eternal life. I love it. But again, I'm still not interested in the resurrection. It's not mine as far as I know. It's somebody else's, and I'm going to rejoice to see them come up. Amen. To see a steady procession coming up. Oh, brother, sister, that's going to be magnificent. You say, well, we see Brother Branham and a couple people. Look at you, got to be kidding. I'm going to see them all.
Amen.
Say, Brother Vail, how are you going to do? Well, I just ask them to come on. There's no trouble. They go like the speed of thought. They're down here. They own it all now. Why shouldn't we get with them? Say, well, if we don't get with them all down here, we will. That's right. We'll meet them all in the air. Doesn't matter. You'll get with them. And you'll be changed yourself. It's going on. Now listen, he said it just may come. I hope it does. But you see, it couldn't because all the bride wasn't in. It wasn't in. Now listen. At that hour when the bride is in, here is what happens. The resurrection power is released. The dead are raised. We are changed. That resurrection power which placed Jesus at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, is here today. Now, you don't get your eyes just on the fact that there is going to be a resurrection and we are in the midst of it. It is that you must understand what He said here, that all things are put under the feet of Jesus in the potential which must come to pass and is related to the resurrection which we are heir to. Now, I want to show you that my exegesis is correct. Because I said, the Spirit of Revelation, God Himself, Logos, comes down here to reveal Himself, which is necessary for you and me, which will in turn raise the dead, which in turn will put us in the exalted position of all authority and power with Him, and it has to do with the putting of things under His feet. Now, you might say, but Brother Vail, I don't see it that way. What I am looking at is the fact that when Jesus rose, everything was under His feet. You've got to be kidding. What's under His feet? Name me one thing. Name me one thing. It isn't there. He's mediator to bring Him in. He's intercessor to hold Him in. But you tell me what's under His feet. Under all authority and power. Is the devil any less strong? No, he hasn't clipped his wings. Is sin any less virulent? No, it's greater still. Until this moment, revelation was a trickle. So indistinct that if the word wasn't like sperm, there wouldn't have been one person born again. Now, by the way, seed is sperm, sperm off. It's like sperm. Put under magnifying glass. Takes 15,000 male sperm to go across the diameter of one hair. Women use spermicide and still get pregnant. They'll use every type of birth control and still get pregnant. The devil has done everything to stop souls being born again, but one word of God containing life falling in a vessel predestinated. I care not who or what he is will bring forth a life. But today the predestinator with his life is standing here. This is the hour that he said, Father, you made me a promise. I want the promise fulfilled. All things under his feet. Now I'm going to prove it to you. See, you might have said, Brother Vail, that took place back there. I want to ask you, what took place? Read the book of Hebrews, you'll find what took place, but you won't find all things under his feet. It's potential. Now, when do they come? Well, now, I want to show you again, because Paul said, I want you to have clear conceptions. I want me to have clear conceptions. Therefore, I want you to have clear conceptions, or I haven't done my job. Now, is Christ risen from the dead? Nobody denies it. That was back there, right? 2,000 years ago? And become the first fruits of them that slept. Is that right? He took them out of the ground, right? Is that right? Okay. Now, explanation. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection. He paid a price. The man didn't raise himself. The man did not raise himself. Listen. Death came by Adam. I didn't have a thing to do with it. But I'm stuck. Another man came by. And in the type of Adam, I didn't have a thing to do with him. He paid my price. You sang this morning? He paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. That's what it tells you there. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every son of God that died in Adam, no problem. No problem. You realize what I said? I said, no problem. Yet preachers have taught you to be scared. You wouldn't make it. Did you make it as a sinner? Oh, the very best. I'm one of the cruddiest sinners living. I never had any decent good sins. Mine were all the chintzy, crappy, rotten, stinking, cruddy little things. Jeesh. Fat. I'd have been happier again, just calm. Even Paul killed people. He had some decent sins. I'm getting close to you people because you're in the same boat. Some of you people said, you brought up so nice. So nice. Right, Don? Just Don's a good kid. She thinks like me. Well, she won't say it. I can tell by the way she laughs at times. Just nice little filthy jerks. The steal that lie. Get some decent sins. You made it, didn't you?
Amen.
Rotten sinner, that's what you were. You made it through Adam, rotten sinner. In Jesus, you'll make it a son of God.
Amen.
You didn't ask to be a sinner. And you were a doozy, one of the cruddiest. You didn't ask to come in his image, but you're going to be there.
Amen.
That's the type. Now listen. But every man in his own order. The resurrection of God, the change has an order. There was an order of Christ upon Calvary before and resurrection before one person could come out of the ground. There's an order now. Now what is the order? Christ the first fruit. It's over. Now listen, afterward, they that are Christ at his presence. Now, isn't that what I read in Ephesians? Do you understand what I'm doing, brother, sister? I'm crisscrossing and weaving scripture so you can see it is one harmonious word. Nothing contradicts. Doesn't say one thing one place, then Paul say another thing another place. Now Paul could and Paul would. But not full of the Holy Ghost. Not with the Logos talking. And I'm going to tell you something. Let's get this flat. The Logos came to Paul. And I can hear you and me saying, well, now, wonderful. The Logos came to Paul. And the Logos said, Paul, will you please go down to the corner stationery store and buy a great big book that you can write in, and I will stand here and look over your shoulder while I tell in your ear what to write. Hogwash. Are you kidding? The Holy Spirit talked to Paul, and the indelible grinding and iron of that word came down upon his mind. And he knew exactly what God had said. And in his own words, he said it. And William Branham, when the branding iron came down, from the Logos. He came back to the pulpit and he said in his own Kentucky vernacular exactly what the Holy Ghost did. You think for 1 minute we're any different? Revelation strikes. Now I'm talking about the fact that he is here. We went to Ephesians. This is the same one. The Ephesians said resurrection after revelation. This is dealing specifically with resurrection. And it says here that at his presence they are raised. Over there it said at his presence they are raised. But over here it also says, I'm telling you a mystery. You don't die to get the change. You get changed here. And that is not a resurrection. That's changed in the atoms that were still living. It's just like that sleazy looking caterpillar that turned into a butterfly. That chrysalis, I guess chrysalis is butterfly and cocoon is moth, is it? Anyway, let's pretend I'm right. I don't remember anything anymore. You look at that cocoon. You say, interesting. What is it? Yeah. See, I've done that so many times. Yuck. Gone. But you learn what's in there. And you wait. And there's a struggle of metamorphoses. And pretty soon something emerges in a struggle. And there it sits on the branch, slowly flapping its wings till they dry. And there is such a wondrous thing of grace and beauty. But you know we're not going to struggle too much because we've entered into a rest. Rest with us, you that are troubled. You've been troubled for a long time. Troubles without, troubles within. He said it's over. I'm going to change you. Now listen. Get what I'm telling you with all this other information thrown in. It stops in verse 23 and then in verse 24 it jumps. And it says, then cometh the end. You notice it? Then cometh the end. I have made a transition from Ephesians to Corinthians. Then I took you back again to Ephesians. Now I got you back in Corinthians, weaving back and forth to show you it's the same thing. And at this time, then cometh the end. Now hold it. I'm glad you're holding. I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven clothed with the cloud. A rainbow was upon his head. His face was over the pillars. Where as the sun feedeth pillars of fire, and he had in his right hand a little book open, had his hand a book open, right foot upon sea, left upon earth, cried the loud voice when a lion roareth. When he cried, seven thunders are the voice, and seven thunders are the voice, lies about you right, and I heard a voice in heaven saying unto me, seal up the things. If the seven thunders are to write them not, the angels I saw stand upon the sea, upon the hand of heaven. Who is that angel? Revelation chapter 4. And in verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold a throne that sat in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. He was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and a rainbow's round about the throne. So who's down here? The one that was on the throne. That's God, Holy Spirit, Logos. Because that's all you can see. You'll never see God. I told you last night, God said, let the earth bring forth the horse. Well, you know that's ridiculous. Earth doesn't bring forth horse. The horse was there, and he got clothed in the chemistry of the earth. Just like God did to man. Now, you looked at the animal, the carcass, and you said, that's horse. You're wrong. That is not horse. What you saw were attributes of horse. But you didn't see horse. Now, that's Logos in a vulgar way. See? Attributes manifested that veil God. God shining forth in a way that man can apprehend him. Now, thunders utter their voices. And I swear by him who liveth forever and created heaven and earth and so on, the time should be no longer. Now listen, notice what he said. He came down and he said, time's run out. Listen to me. He came down. Then cometh the end. But not so. Let's read a little more. Verse 7. But in the days the voice of seven messenger, when he'll begin to sound, the mystery of God should be completed. As he had declared the good news of the gospel by his servants the prophets, he's telling you right there when that one comes down and makes the announcement. When he makes that announcement, something begins to happen, which will end up at the end. You see what I'm saying? Now let's keep reading. Then cometh the end when he shall have. Future perfect tense. Didn't say did have, said shall have. In other words, listen, brother, sister. When you get here, the bride knows that it's over. I don't care if you die like Brother Branham, or you die like old Brother Dow, and you die like Sister Little, and some of these men and women that are passing on. That doesn't matter. The bride standing here knows that it's over. She knows she's New Jerusalem. See, she knows it. Now, have there the kingdom of God. Now, right at this point when Jesus is here, if I am true bride, I know that I shall have already been placed in the New Jerusalem. You see what I'm saying? Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying something different. Now, look at it. If I was paying for a car in time payments, and my time payments ran out in 2 years, and every payment on the line, I said, I shall have paid the car off in 2 years. I am identified what's down the road by the fact I am into what is down the road. Amen. Then I'm already there. You're speaking in terms of the parousia. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. I'm justified. I know that. Then I must be glorified. See? Future, perfect, under the present, because it's assured, because he's here. If he weren't here, I couldn't say it. Then if he is here, I must say it. Now, why aren't people saying it? Listen, I could do some explosion here, but I'm not going to bother because it ain't worth it. Not worth it to our souls. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign. Now listen, from the parousia to the consummation, there's a necessitous reigning that somebody's got to do. And it starts at the parousia. Are you following what I'm saying? I taught this last night. I'm teaching today. I'll teach it next week, too, if I'm around. If you're not getting it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, if there's nobody here, someone doesn't understand, just tell me now, and I'll go over it. If I don't finish this morning, it's perfectly okay. I'll likely be around again to finish it another time. Do you understand what I'm saying? When he comes, something starts in. And it's at the time that we're going to be changed. That change is necessitous to the tail end when New Jerusalem has the Lamb on the throne, we're New Jerusalem, and the pillar of fire above it. And God is all in it all. You understand what I'm saying? Then listen, it started now. Say, Brother Bell, I don't feel any different. I got news for you. I feel worse. My back aches worse. So what's a back? If you're face to face with Jesus and not back to back, who cares about the back? See? He cometh in. He must reign till all enemies are under his feet. And the last enemy destroyed is death. That's separation from God. Everything's gone. Every vestige is gone. Nothing remains but that which was in him Logos and brought into manifestation in its proper beauty. Do you think for 1 minute God had a disordered mind when he plumbed his own depths for trillions of years? That's why he hasn't got a disordered mind. And he's got the power to bring it to pass. But these interjections are there in order for God to give himself a reason and purpose of being to his creation that he might be all and in all. And you know the peculiar thing is you could rise up and say, what kind of a God is that? A God made a thing that's going to praise him because this thing and that thing that he brought on the people. And the funny thing is it's exactly right. We can't help ourselves. An ordinary student would say, well, come on, for the love of Pete. You're going to talk about a God that made him, let a man sin, or did this and did that, and brought a devil, knowing what would happen. Yeah, that's exactly right. But the peculiar thing, the Spirit in us agreeing with him and his word. What would you call it? Word foreknowledge? The great blueprint. And we're happy to be a part.
Amen.
And Paul could say, we got to suffer and die for him. He said, I'm filling up the measure of the suffering left. He said, it's wonderful. And he said, you're going to suffer too to be glorified to them. And we say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so he said, you're a hallelujah bunch of nuts. Yep, hallelujah, hallelujah. Explain it. I can't. Oh, go ahead. Explain why my hand here can lift up this bit of Kleenex. Go ahead and explain why I can. Oh, go through the ramifications. Hogwash. You explain nothing. You come right down to an old doctor up there in Canada, the most brilliant herbalist, I guess, living an MD at the same time. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, in 6,000 years, we've only learned 20% of the body. Five times six is 30,000. Let me tell you, in 50 million years, you'll never learn. Because the human body keeps changing. I want to get back to an unchanging God. And it started now. Now the last enemy. For he hath put all things under his feet. But he hasn't put all things under his feet. That's the promise. Now listen, but when he saith all things are put under his manifest, that he has left up which should put all things under him. Now listen, in here it says that when the end cometh, he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, and when he put down all rule and all authority for must reign. And then it tells you, and hey, that's not Jesus doing that. That's God doing that for Jesus. So what's God done? He's come down here where it started to go off cater. Brother Branham said if that bullet goes off cater, a little puff of wind, 50 yards from the barrel, it's got maybe 3 feet off the mark. He said, you got to take that bullet back to where it went off. Then he's got to start here with man. And you know something? Get this straight. When he's through with man, then he works on the devil. Yeah. And when he's through with the devil, he's through with everything. That's why the last enemy's death. That separation, because you see, the devil separated from God. He said, I will exalt myself by the heavens. I will have a better throne. I will have this. He separated right there on his will. Thy will be done in heaven and on earth. Identical. It's coming right now. And it starts here. In his presence. See? He's doing something. If it was redemption in the garden, it's got to be redemption here. If it was refusal in the garden to let a man live forever, it's got to be reversal here. So he's doing something. So the reigning. I'm going to jump a little bit here and hit my notes. Before I do, I want to show you again that I'm right in what I'm saying about this one who's doing the reigning. We go to the 8th Psalm, and we read from verse 4. What is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man you visit him. You've made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passed through the paths of the sea. Now you know who did that. That's God. So God is moving in behalf of Jesus. And Jesus is on the throne, reigning. It's vicarious. Let me tell you something. Let's get it understood. The Scripture says that this Jesus is the express image of God. One translator says that's the outraying of God, as though God was outraged. That's very nice. But I prefer the fact that it's the etching, where God's etching too, where God etched himself right out here. Becoming an image, like an alter ego, like the soul of God. Call it what you want, Logos. Now, in and through all things made by him and for him and to him, then we understand that everything that God did, he did through the Logos. Then everything that God is doing, he is doing now through Jesus Christ sitting on that throne. That's why he is a mediator. That's why he's an intercessor. That's why we come to God by him. And that's why you cannot approach God except through him. And that is why you cannot see God except through him. And there's nothing about God, period, that doesn't come through that one. Now that one human is sitting on the throne right now, the very etching, the very image. And when you look at him, you see God, though he isn't God. But the attributes are there. And without the attributes, you couldn't see God. Like I said, you're not looking at horse. You're looking at attributes. You listen, you can even be more complex. You take an egg, and you look at the egg, and you say, ha ha, beautiful fresh egg. I'll crack that in the pan of butter. Now hold it. In there is chicken. Now, how in the world do you associate egg and chicken? Now you're getting more complex. You're like the human structure now. Because egg doesn't look like chicken, period. But within egg are attributes that'll come forth manifesting a chicken. So therefore, chicken is in the egg. Hey, that's some looking chicken. But he's there. Now we're looking, listen, these expressions are pretty raunchy, because look at, I'm groping to try to get the right words and say the right thing about this one sitting on the throne. You cannot disassociate him from God in any way, shape, or form, from the name, the power, or anything. But at this time, because that one paid the price, then everything must be for him, because it was originally by him, that which was in him. And listen, you'll never separate Logos from that man. You can't do it. So therefore now God, standing here in the person of the Holy Spirit, having laid the body aside, taken on himself the form of the Word, is now bringing everything under the feet of Jesus, right back to where it was before there was a Logos that came out. It was there, but it hadn't come out. Now he's here doing this. And as it started in redemption, in the garden, which is on earth, it's got to come back to the earth to start it, to bring it to a garden. You see what I'm talking about? That would take a resurrection. So now, at this moment, we see him, God, on earth. And he is literally reigning, and Christ is reigning through him. See, that's the way it was with Joseph. Joseph stood there. And Pharaoh said, in everything you're just as big, except when it comes to what's behind the throne and the power behind the throne. And you're the man that stands there with the whip of the throne. Right. Now we got the same thing right today. Jesus is on that throne, and God stands right here with every bit of his authority, and he's going to bring everything right into a perfect harmony until everything's under the sun. And they look at him and they say, wonderful, wonderful. And he said, this was the will of my Father, the doings of my Father and our God, and he turns it all back. Now that's what we're starting on, brother, sister. We're right into it, right in this hour, and people are having a job to perceive it. Now, when he said all things were put under him, it is manifest that the one who is doing it is left out. Because remember, Jesus is not over God. The Bible said the head of Christ is God. So don't get all messed up in your thinking. Now, it says, when all things shall be put under him, subdued, and that word subdued is entirely wrong. That's like taking a wild animal. But this is, the word is subject, you're put under feet. Then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him. Now, can you imagine God saying, well, son, you served your purpose, and now since I did everything nice, I'm going to jump on you under my feet. Get down, boy! Get down, boy! Well, why does that come into our minds? Why does the word subject mean that? I'll tell you why. In this message, you've got too many cruddy husbands who say, wives, be subject to your own husband. Get down, girl. Get down, girl. Get down, girl. My God, I'll never forget that fat slob of a preacher called himself a preacher. His poor wife pregnant with I don't know how many kids. And she's just as big as a house and then sitting right by the stereo and she's trying to serve us preachers meals. I want to get up and get out of here or just serve her instead of her serving me. And the preacher said, honey, come on and turn the stereo down. I thought you lousy fat slob, why don't you get up and turn it down yourself? And that was his idea of wives be subject. What a love match that was. What a love match some people got concerning Christ and the bride. Now the son is subject. So get down there, boy. Get down there, boy. This is Papa talk. Get down there, boy. Is that what subjection is about? Is that what it means under his feet? Those are expressions, brother, sister, that we really don't, shouldn't use today in our modern American language and in this message because it entirely betrays the thought. It simply means that God is doing what God said he would do, which is get us all back in divine flow with him. Does my hands, my mind say, hey, little finger, be subject. Wiggle, waggle, wiggle, waggle. Fact. That poor thing can't hardly move us on its own. It's so messed up. How many people wiggle their noses? I can't wiggle mine. My sister used to always amaze me. She could wiggle her ears like a bunny and wiggle her nose, and that's about all she could do, too. Subject? Subject? What's he talking about? He's talking about something in my head through life has these moving in harmony. A divine flow. Don't you see what it says? The key, listen, if you're not getting it, let me read it again. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. He's talking about the subjection is the all and the all, where the devil doesn't intercept anymore or interpolate himself, where man doesn't get out of harmony anymore, where there's nothing the wife can say to make the husband mad because he couldn't get mad if he tried and she couldn't say anything anyway. It would make a man mad if he could get mad. That's what we're talking about, subject. Brother Branham called it harmony. I scratched my brain. I did everything I could to express it. Gene would come to the house. Brother Russell would come to the house. Maybe Jim was there. Somebody else. And I'd try to tell him. And I'd feel pretty good. Or maybe Brian was there. And I'd feel pretty good. And I'd say, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. And I'd say, well, fap, it was partly right. And then I'd talk to somebody else. Or I'd preach in the pulpit. And I'd feel good. Hey, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. But I never got it till one day. It said, I know that Brother Branham said it somewhere. I know that he said it. I know it's in the writing of the Spirit. And I went there, and there it was. He said, harmony. Vertical, horizontal, beautiful spirit, harmony. See? Now look. There's nothing I can do to get God mad. Ha ha! You don't believe that, do you? You bunch of old legalists sitting there. I hope we got a few Baptists. Bless your bones. I got to get this in here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the peace of God. That's peace with God. That's when the perpetrators of rebellion had come against the sovereign. And the sovereign put them all down beautifully. And then he stood there and he said, I know that you meant to get me out of the way. But he said, I'm not mad at you. He said, you're not mad? No, you can't get me mad. Boy, I'd sure be mad. Yeah, I know, but he said, I forgave you through Christ. I'm not mad anymore. So you see what I'm talking about. Is every thought of God is beautiful toward us, and we're getting beautiful thoughts toward God. You know, you're sitting here this morning, and I know you seems a million miles off, but you keep forgetting that sweet spirit beyond the curtain of time is going to come before the resurrection. He told me it's mine. And I'm telling you this morning it's yours because he won't treat you different from me. Why should he? Why should he? The presentation is the only difference, and that just depends on attitudes of faith. That's all. We'll all be the same kind of people. You can stick every one of us with a pin. We won't bleed. We won't even feel it. Actually, no one will want to stick us with a pin. You see what I'm talking about? The subjecting is not crunching bones, coercing. I'll get your boy. It's all different. You know what? Faith, hope, love. Is this the same message preached last night? I doubt it, according to what I'm saying, but it's the same notes exactly. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why did he hope for it? Paul the Apostle said, may he come. Now the same one says, if he is here and you see it, there's no hope left. Right? Oh, I hope for, well really, I hope that within 2 weeks this church will be finished. I shouldn't have said that, but it was good to say it. Now, if it's finished in 2 weeks, I won't hope anymore. Now, listen. Faith is gone. Hope came, and he stood there, and we saw him, and he's standing there, and we see him. Then hope is gone. What's left? Love. Now, if you want to believe New York, that the capstone hasn't come, and you're going to get some kind of a love, you're all wet. God is love, and God is here.
Amen.
Now what subjection? He loved her so much, she couldn't help loving back. It's like old John Harris said, come and visit me. He said, we'll treat you so good in so many ways, you're bound to like some of them. It's the way Jesus is this morning. Love. See what I'm talking about? This subjection, brother, sister, why did we get married anyway? Sure, to God, it just wasn't sex. Although that's all right, too, because Paul said better, you know, marry than burn, so that's legitimate. But after that, Brother Branham said, I love her so much, I just want to get her right down inside of me. If a woman doesn't love that much, well, she's bound to be like the man because, look, she's human like he is. Love is love. Subjection. See what I'm talking about now? Okay, now that you understand that, that's very, very good. Let me go a little somewhere else here now. Now, look, get it back to the verses so I don't take it too much longer. It says here, shall I put down all authority, all rule, all power, for he must reign till every enemy is under the foot. Now, we looked at the word last night as to the word reigning. Now, let's listen carefully. This is what God is doing now, and this reigning is a continuing explanation of verse 25. Now, it tells you that he's got to put the kingdom back under the Father. Now, the Father's got to do something to make that happen. See? He's duty-bound, because the Son is interceding and mediating. He's done what the Father said, so the Father's got to do what He said. All is under your feet. So now God is bringing it. Now, at this time to culminate the all in all at Mount Zion, He is putting down all rule, all authority, and all power, and He's reigning. The word reigning, and this explains the 24 which I just brought out again. is dealing with all rule and authority and power that God has allowed to be transmitted to be used by others. And that's exactly right. Because there is no power but of God. The devil brings on an earthquake. What power did he use? God's power is what he used. This explains the charismatic movement. Genuine gifts. Brother Branham said the worst havoc that can be created in the church is when a genuine gift is misused. Used by the devil. The question came, Brother Branham, can a man full of the Holy Ghost with a genuine gift of God be used of the devil? And the answer, about after pages and a long way round, said, yeah. And it's down to Junior Jackson's. I'm not going to pull my punches. He doesn't pull his. He makes Brother Branham a liar. I make Brother Branham true. We're going on, they're going back. If they ever came out. I just make those statements flat, down to space and care less. You're all fool with this stuff. See? Now, all power is of God. There is nothing impure or sinful of itself. So therefore, what is done with what makes the difference. And God is bringing back what is done with what, which means God is what, and what is in God by power is what. And they're one, and nobody else has anything to do with it. That's why Brother Branham said the bride will have the word, and she won't say one word or do one thing until she hears from God. And people, oh, hallelujah, great, big, tremendous things with thus saith the Lord. My brother and my sister, turn the world upside down. Heal a million people. Wonderful, you do it. I'm not interested, per se. I'm interested in one thing. What? With what? In Lee Vale. So that Lee Vale will be one with what is what? Ruling, reigning. Reigning, rule. Literally, power over somebody or something. You know what? We will not have this man rule over us. Give him to me.
Amen.
Give him to me. I want to know that God's my head, that he's ruling over me. Authority. Comes from the word existing, meaning it's lawful. From the meaning to have permission. Liberty to do as one pleases, the right to power. God's taking all that back too. God alone has the right to power. God alone has the right to power because he alone knows how to use it. He's taking it all back. Yep. Power. Actual strength. Mighty works of the Holy Spirit. Raise the dead. Change us. Rapture. Wedding supper. Mothers. Oh, listen, brother, sister. Can't you see what he's doing? God is doing this, and it's got to start here to get us back to Eden. Then from Eden we go on, and there is no stopping. What will it be like when God is all and in all? Logos! And it's multiplied forms. Logos. In word form. Logos. In a fire. Logos. In a whirlwind. Logos. In a spiritual rock. Logos. In a cloud. Logos. In a bride. Oh, brother, sister, listen. Our wildest thoughts cannot begin to imagine. I'm going to read in Ephesians here what I read a long time ago. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, about verse 20. And I'm going to read it the first way, which is wrong, and the right way, second. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's not true, because that sounds as though we work the power. Unto him who in the exercise of his power, that is at work within us. God not delegating, except in this way, God allowing us the privilege of him working in and through us at his own time. So this is what is going on in the right now. Right now, this is going on. That God is bringing us to a literal restoration. not just a word, as though it's just simply this word, but the real word, the Logos is here that are expressed in human flesh. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I could no more have done what happened to me recently than nothing. I've tried it for years. I even went for hypnotism and got scared stiff because I almost went into an absolute trance, and I know what trances are like, so I said, forget it. Maybe I would have been all right. But I'll tell you something. I never could have done it. There's no way it could have happened to me by my own way. You say, you psyched yourself. I did not psych myself. I wasn't even aware of what was done until one day suddenly. I just couldn't remember. My mind looked at something that held me in this torturous care for 55 years that drove me to the verge of suicide, that made me feel I was the hellish of all hellish people, that forced me to take actions of faith, which made me stand there like a stupid bulldog instead of a man ordained to God. It worked, but didn't work to any good. And then one day it was gone. And I suddenly realized it was gone. And my mind is a blank. You say, well, then you have amnesia. Drop dead. You got stupid. Forget it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the air, you know. It's nonsense that people bring. I know when God works. Now listen, in the Greek, in this word reini, that comes from verse 24, Dr. Vine says, it is in the aorist tense, which means ingression, or the place where it starts. Where does this start that's going on, or supposed to go on, right now? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. The same one that says the kingdom of heaven, God, or the is in the midst of you, the same one says it right now. I am here, and I am king, and this is my kingdom, and I'm restoring it to myself. And he said the world won't see it, and you won't see it. Oh, Brother Bill, I will, because you're going to have such fruit. You are a fruitcake, my dear, because the prophet said that's not what it was. Now there will be fruit. But that's not it. Oh, you say, Brother Vail, that character. Look, I've always been a character, honey. Want me a better character? Don't ask for that. You just might tempt me. Well, what about charismatic? Well, what about it? Why don't you do it? Well, what about getting nearer to God? No, wait, he better come close to me. Because if I do it, I'll botch it. If he does it, hallelujah. Well, what about obedience? Well, what about it? That's not it. Now look, all those things are there. Let me tell you, as far as character, fruit, and other things, I believe in my life there is a deepening the same as in yours. But that is not it. It is he bringing everything under. And character. Listen, who had greater character than John? Not the Baptist, but John the Revelator. Who had that life of Polycarp, where they couldn't kill him? Who had what Paul had? And why wasn't he made immortal? Because it wasn't the hour, and God wasn't there to do it. God was there to take him safely home, and then come back to raise him in this hour. We'll see Polycarp.
Amen.
Interesting. Interesting. See Paul, beautiful thought. This is the point of entrance. This is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. This is that hour, and we are in it. I've told you many a time, but never able to explain it, that the clock has moved to a position where the 12th hour must strike. We've been caught up where it cannot be stopped. I was talking this morning to brethren in the back. I said, I'll explain what I'm talking about. Take a child 1.5 years old that's steady on his feet. Put him at the top of that stair and then watch that kid. He'll take one step and nothing will save him. He's down. I'm telling you now what's happening. You stay with this word. I'm telling you from experience. And try to be the voice of God to you, which is very difficult. But I'm trying to be truthful and right to help you. That you will be changed and changed and changed until you get there and I will get there. Something has started you cannot reverse. You'll never reverse it. The devil can still be here and look you in the eye and make you feel lower than a snake. He can twist and pervert things because his time is not yet. I'm going to tell you something. Something has started. You cannot reverse it. There's something out in the world that cannot be reversed. That is why God told me, get your eyes off all that stuff. Forget about the bombers. Forget about Russia. Forget about the Pope. Forget about this. Forget about that. Forget about the terrorists. Who cares? Who cares? What have I got to do with them? Forget about the inheritance. Forget about the other thing. Just remember, he's here. Something has started. See, that's it. That's a proof. That's a trigger. Now, take this over, as we did in John 11 and 26. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes, I do, but it didn't do her any good. Right. That's why Paul said, he may, we'll pray that he may, we'll pray that he may, it might not be the hour. But when he said, whosoever believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, that was for her. Now, I am on the brink of both of them. But I choose to believe that I have nothing to do, that he that perisheth shall be raised. My perishing was in creeds and dogmas and in sin. It's been taken care of. I'm looking for he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Do you believe this? Yep. I believe it. For me. And I believe it for others. Now, my wife doesn't believe too well, but I believe for her. And whether she wants to make it or not, she'll make it. Because I figured that we should be in the millennium together. And I'm not, whether she likes it or not, I'm not too interested. Because you see, that's sovereignty. I never chose God, he chose me, and she never chose me, and I chose her, so that's the way it is. And that's the way it's got to be, because that's the way it is. And Brother Brown said, amen. I'm not saying amen to myself. He said, that's right. I'm just saying amen to him. Remember the time he said that, it sounded real cute. All right, subjection. The subjection at this time is going on by the changes here that literally shove aside the enemy, which is death, as a sliver gets in our finger and causes the cells to die. There was something in here bringing death. Today, there's something in here that refuses death. Now, look, it may not run its course. Who cares? No problem. But it could run its course. Somebody's got to be here. Well, you say, Brother Vail, don't you think the old gang dies off? Yeah, but there was a Caleb and Joshua. I think maybe somebody else, so I'm not worried. Now, the anti-word enemies are coming under subjection. And their subjection is not God saying, die, 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 die. Tired of you guys. They misdivided the word like Cain, and the separation is in Matthew 24, where he said, one grinding at the mill, two grinding mill, one taking, one left. Two in the field, one taken, one left. It is separating time by the word of Almighty God. That is subjection. They don't even know what's happening. We didn't even know what was happening. You see why I dwell on subjection the way I do? Because it cannot, there's no way I'll believe this coercion stuff. Now, it isn't coercion. It is destiny. Destiny is not coercion. Destiny is a point that we come to by reason of life.
Amen.
And we are subject to it because it is life. And Christ, who is our life, is here and is flowing out, and we are melded, molded into it. That's the subjection I'm talking about. For love is here. Now, we talked about subjection. That subjection I mentioned, talked to you already. I also see it where he said, where I am, there you will be also. The ingressive action of God has started. He's down here to take us back, so that started. In Ephesians 1, notice what it says, the 10th verse, in dispensation, the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, things are on earth, even in him. Now that's the ultimate. Then there is nothing there that cannot be gathered to God.
Only that which is gathered to God both in heaven and earth shall exist and remain. It started already. I hope you're getting it, brother, sister, because look, this is what's going to change your lives, and I'm preaching for changed lives. I'm sorry. If you came here to hear a sermon that you could just leave this building, a certain man once said, well, Lee Vail didn't do a thing for me. And I said, well, so what? What did Jesus do for 10,000 Pharisees? Now, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, what can Lee Vail do for you? I'm going to tell you something. You're sick. And I'm going to tell you what you better do. You better repent before this meeting's over and get right with God and get the Holy Ghost because you ain't got it. Now, I'm going to talk bluff. I don't get you. Say, Brother Branham, sweet and gentle. Lee Vail is not Brother Branham. So let's get that flat. Now, if you want money, how much do you want? I mean, if you want money, if Lee Vail is going to do it, how much do you want? You think I haven't got it? Come up and count it. I can take care of some of you. If that's what you want. Is that what you want? Some money? No problem. I don't know how many $100 you got here. And what sits at home in the shell? Because I cashed a bunch of checks. God's good to me. If you want money, tell me. If that's what's the criterion, how much do you want? I'm not kidding. That's all Lee Vail can do for you. Amen. Now, if that's what you want, I'll supply it the best I can. I'm not rich that rich, but I'm not either so poor in the sense that I'm broke. I'm not broke. This word is what counts. Amen. Now, I said that to settle some of you down because you're young, you're ignorant. When you walk out of this door, that's your tough luck, I warn you. I can't do one thing for you. But I got faith in this word that I preach is the word of God, and it will change your lives if you want to listen. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking for it, brother, sister. I'm not standing here standing back and saying, well, maybe. I'm not saying maybe at all. Because one's taken, one's left. You say, Vail, you make yourself something. Not by any stretch of imagination, but what if he made me something? Where do you stand then? Amen. What if there is a flame of prophecy, a spirit of prophecy? What if I have it? And I don't back away anymore. Because many people run around saying, Brother Branham said this, and they tell a bunch of lies. I'm telling you the truth. He met me at the door and says, I saw you coming. You saw me coming? What are you talking about? He knew I was coming. No, he waited outside the church because he saw me coming with Dr. Lewis Cobble. And Brother Branham never held up a service, but he had the whole service waiting for me to come. He said, I saw you coming. Flame of fire is a spirit of prophecy. Testimony to Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, if that doesn't change you, nothing will. And I'm not. I'm not the flame of fire. I'm not the spirit of prophecy. Amen. To stand up here and admit it takes more than you think. Because they're going to say, well, Vail, then you better have character. I've got character. I am a character. You don't believe it, ask Marilyn. I speak her thoughts. I said, well, you wouldn't say it, and I knew your thing was all saying for you. I can do just about anybody here because, you see, most of you won't lay your cards face up. Now lay them face up and feet down. Well, you better have this. If I had it, what would it do for you? It's not, brother, sister, what it does for me, any gift. It lies in what it does for you. Brother Branham could not use a gift for himself. A boy out there with a great big cancer, poof, falls off his face. Another one with a sprained back, poof, he's perfectly well. And Brother Branham pulls up his pants and says, see, no use praying. He had a big bruise, a big mark. He said, it won't work for me. That was meant for you. But I'm going to tell you something. That man had something from God for himself, which was Christ in him, like we all have. But I'm going to tell you, you think I'm talking about myself, so I got something. Let me tell you, every one of you's got something too. There isn't one person without some gift from God you're responsible. And it won't be anything that is something that you produce as though you are somebody. It lies within you, even to be cheerful, to show mercy, to be generous, to show hospitality, to show a kindness, to exhort. Makes a difference when you know what he's talking about. Now listen, I expect the Word of God to take action. And I will say this to my own satisfaction, not to yours, because I'm talking about myself. When I sat in this church this morning and felt the Spirit and heard the singing, I said something did happen last night. There is something here this morning that wasn't here last night. And what it is, it's that Spirit that's beginning to flow across the people. That tells me the resurrection is closer than any sign out there, because he said, you watch what is yours. This is mine. This is mine. We can let our hair down here this morning. Listen, don't put up a smoke screen any longer. Don't let your diffidence show. Don't let your unbelief come between you and your brother, your sister, and Almighty God. We are brothers and sisters. We are one in him. We are facing showdowns. But that's not what counts. Don't pay attention. Is what are you in him? What is he doing now? He has started on us to bring it all into balance. Because it started with living people out of balance. It'll finish with living people in balance. Do you follow what I'm saying? Then get your faith up. You look at yourselves, you're unbalanced. Forget it. He's balancing us. It's a work of God, a work of grace. Love is here, overflowing and abounding. It's going to end up with the Lamb on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne, and the wolf and the young lamb lying down together, and the lion and the ox eating hay. Oh, my. And the saints eating word. In the meantime, God is here bringing a bride together. We read about it in Jeremiah. We talked about Malachi, but we didn't go to Ephesians. So I got a few minutes before you go and eat, and there's no more services today. So we're going to go to Ephesians. I'm going to hold you longer. I like to hold you longer. I test your patience. See if you love me. I'm not lying to you. I'm just teasing you. Okay. In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 11 to 22. Wherefore, remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, are uncircumcised, but called the uncircumcised, that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers of covenant and promise, without hope, having no hope without God in this world. But you know, you could apply that right at this hour. In the churches where we were. God standing outside. Judgment pronounced. But now, and with no hope, you've come to hope. See? Okay. For he is our peace, verse 14, that made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, which the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself and train one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were far off, and them were nigh. Now listen, he said because of the cross, God cannot be our enemies. God cannot be angry. Now listen, we've got too legal a background. We're all the time talking, you do wrong, God will fix you. You do wrong, God will fix you. Yes, he is fixing us. He's fixing us up. Little kid breaks the toy. Oh, you shouldn't have done that, break that toy. So Papa said, well, get out the glue. Fix it up. Amen. How many of you had gut aches? Real bad ones. Doctor, ha, 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 ha. Too much Coca-Cola. Too many pies. Ha, 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 ha. But I fix you up. He doesn't say, ha. You stupid jerk, you. You deserve your gut ache. So, I give you a... You know, I'm preaching this morning like the fellow went into the juice store. And he looked at the suit and he said, well, what I wanted was a blue suit. And the guy said, hey, they bring the blue light. The man wants a blue suit. I'm trying to get you to see everything in the light of God's word this morning. Amen. to turn the light of the Word on you this morning. He doesn't do the way we do. He said, I'm not a man. I don't think like a man. I don't do like a man. Well, he said, hey, I better do something about it. I better send a man down. So he got inside of the man. And he came down and he did what he would do if he were a man. He redeemed us. Brother, sister, listen. Get your eyes where they belong and get it off everything but what he is to you in redemption, because redemption is here. Don't worry about what you've done and all. I'm not saying, well, don't worry so you can go ahead and do more. I never said that. I'm talking to the legitimate, not the illegitimate. If you're illegitimate this morning, oh, come on back next week. It's okay. It won't do you any good. If you're legitimate, you can't help but get some good. See? Now he came and preached peace to them who are far off and them who are nigh, that through him we both have access to one Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Do you know right now we are absolutely linked up in joint with Abraham and Isaac and those great people? We're part of the 11th chapter of Hebrews and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now listen, God supplies every single thing in measure, and every single thing the same thing, but in different measures. Which means the Word of God in different ages, the same Word for that age, it's always the Word, but in different measures at different times. Now listen, we are part of the foundation. The Word that came here in flesh and said, you're Peter, I want you. You're John, I want you. You're James, I want you. You're over here and you're Philip, I want you. Come on, Andrew. And he did it all. And their foundation, you say, hallelujah, he did the same for me. He did the same for you. You say, come on. And he called us all by name and we're all part of the foundation. Amen. Because what's in the foundation is in the superstructure. And the foundation and superstructure is also what the headstone's made of. Because it came from him. Now, where do you stand this morning, fellow Logos? Logos that went astray is now coming back. Never more to roam. Open thine arms of love. Lord, I'm home. I'm home. You see, I'm coming. I ain't coming. I'm here. See? Built upon that foundation, in whom all the building fitly framed. That's that beautiful marriage we talked about. The same thing over in Ephesians 4. Fitly framed. Harmony. Because the word marriage is... The root word is harmony. From morning till night, our home it ain't bright. Except when the sparks fly from morning till night. Then it's exceedingly bright, both day and by night. That's harmony. Boy, oh boy. When love shines in... Groweth to a holy temple in whom you're builded together by habitation of God. Okay. Notice verse 13 is the provision. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were nigh are and far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The blood allowed God to come on down here. Verses 14 and 18. Lies shows what lies in it. For he is our peace. God, are you approaching? I'm approaching. How do you come, God? Is there any way I can come except in peace? Ooh, my. Well, you could come in anger. You could come in wrath. How are you coming? I'm coming in peace. Because you see, everything is to be reconciled, and this is the hour of it. But you mean you're not mad? No. And the prophet said, he is here in grace and in mercy revealing himself. And the next time it will be in wrath for those nations that didn't believe him. Amen. Do you believe he's here?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, he's coming in peace this morning to bring peace. The Prince of Peace is here.
Amen.
But you wait. The next time, it'll be in wrath and judgment. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. Let's read on. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances,
the Ten Commandments and my inability to do anything about it, and even the ordinances that didn't do something for me. I just kept doing it. Lord, you're coming. Are you my enemy?
No.
Yeah, but I've been a million miles off the word, and I try and I never get anywhere. You've got to be coming with a whip.
Nope. 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 So you don't realize that we're one.
Admire every Old Testament saint. He was full of flaws. Admire every new one. He couldn't tow it. But he said, when Jesus came, I came down in him so that we could combine the two, heaven and earth, combine. As Brother Brand said, hug each other. See? And the glory of the mercy seat coming to man. And he said, I don't hate you. I'm not your enemy. No, I'm coming in love and in friendship because we're one. And the minute you realize that you, boy, I'm sure glad the cop didn't catch me that time I was speeding. You ever felt that good feeling? This is a million times better. Because this is revelation. It's revelation, okay? Let's keep reading. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. That's humanity. To love your brother, to trust him. This is a touchy subject. Whenever I see a Christian, so-called, talk business, I want to buy a Jaguar and take off. Because I prefer dealing with just good old sinners. But the bride's different. Can you sell yourself to your brother this morning? I wouldn't advise it, brother, sister, but there's coming a day when you'll be able to trust your brother inside out and upside down. You'll live in that atmosphere. Because we've been reconciled through Jesus Christ on the cross to come to a place where there is no enmity between us and God or with each other, but the book is opened. As God could come and view us and we view back and feel that rest and sanctity that lies there, even though our natures would try to contradict it, this is what is real. This is what is going on right now. And there is something going on between brethren. Yep. Came and preached peace. You are far off them or nigh. For through him we both have access unto one Father. Now see where it ends? We're no more strangers to God and to each other. Our fellowship is with the saints, the household of God. We are built. We are foundationed. The program is over. The capstone is down. It is fitly framed. It is now ready for that holy temple. Condition. We're builded for a habitation of God through the Spirit. New Jerusalem's right online. When this age is over, there'll be no more New Jerusalem. You say, what about the 144,000 eunuchs? Take care of the bride. It's all over. It's finished. No temple in the new era. We're the temple. No, we're, that's all over. Jesus himself, a man sitting there. Completely everything, the pillar of fire, everything reflects through him. Every blessing channeled down. Listen, we're in that final stage. Then what lies there? All and in all. You see what I'm driving at this morning? Then get your eyes off of everything but all and all. Never mind your bitter experiences with past preachers. The people are sitting here this morning, for the last several years you've had bitter experiences with preachers, and there's almost every one of you. Forget it. I've had mine. And I've been steadily ascending on wings of faith.
Amen.
I've watched the others stand still.
Amen.
Me tell you, brother, sister, there is no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment against you, you shall condemn.
Amen.
For this is the heritage of the saints of the Lord.
Forget it. Since I begin to forget certain things you refuse to dwell upon, my arthritis is getting better. Praise God. It should all be better one of these days. When I find out what I'm doing in my back end, I'll forget that one too. You got troubles? You made them for yourself, like I've made mine. He told me. I'm telling you, he told me. Don't look out there anymore. It isn't worth it. But this is worth it. See? All right. So God, not another, is in charge. He is starting to destroy the enemies. In other words, by putting them down. The separating is going on. They're getting wickeder. We're coming more into his presence. You know, bathing down. We are. Revelation 19 and 15, coming back with him to establish the kingdom has started. Oh yeah, it's going on right now. He's doing it. Not somebody else. So therefore, brother, sister, everything is just fine. Everything's just fine. We're coming to the place where Satan will be bound in chains of circumstances because he's being bound right now. You know something? If God reached down and took his hand, so something in me just won't let my mind go a certain direction, I want to ask you, if God did it, then is Satan bound? Sure he's bound. He's bound as far as I am concerned with him in this certain area, not perhaps other areas. I'm not saying he is. In fact, I'm literally admitting he's not. I'm going to lie to you. But he can't do certain things. See? Because we're getting in harmony. So God is here. We don't believe it. We know it. We see it. Then when you see it, you can't ask for it. God, why don't you come? Why don't you do something? He's here and he's doing something. We're talking about it. In other words, we have taken the step beyond hope. Faith. Hope. Love. He's here. Now you see, I don't see him. Oh, come on. Show us the Father and it sufficeth us. I'm under your nose. Ah, forget it. God's your Father. He said, why don't you deny that God's your Father? You know you're a liar. Shut up, sit down, he's not your Father. Why, he said, if I denied he's my Father, I'd come a liar just like you. Any liars here this morning? Let's give it the check. I and my Father are one. Now that kind of bugs you, doesn't it? Because you see, you've got an idea of your kind of oneness without beginning to look into what his one kind of oneness is. Do you ever hear what a contract is to be legal? It's the merging of the minds. The merging of the minds means that the man who wrote the contract and you signed that contract, you both know identically exactly what's in the contract and what is going to transpire, and you're therefore agreed. Now let's have a little show of honesty. Let me see the hand of that one liar in the congregation who says that he really understands business contracts. Where is Brother Evans? I see you looking through that little hole there. Isn't it true, Brother Evans, that every contract is written to the good of the man that writes the contract? And nobody really reads what's in the contract. Even if he does, he doesn't know it. I'm talking about God. The merging of the mind. You and I are looking at God through our own minds. This morning, forget it. Bring it down. Bring it down. Get your fingers right in your brain and bring it down. Forget it. Look at what he said. Paul said, I have become the righteousness of God. But you see, I do certain things. He never said you didn't. He said, in Christ, you are the righteousness of God. Read the print, what God said in the contract. Now, God made a contract here that I am coming, and when I do come to raise the dead, I'm going to start the end of my complete program, which ends in me being all in it all, the way I started, right back in Logos. Everything perfectly harmonious. And you say, you mean all this flesh? Yes, all that flesh. And all that nature? Yes, all that nature. Right back to Logos. Oh, you say, well, in the light of the circumstances, it becomes dubious. In the light of God, we're a bunch of liars, which is not dubious. In the light of God, we are a puffed up bunch of ignoramuses, which is not dubious. Which we have taken our side with Satan who fell by pride, which is not dubious. But it'll end us all in hell. Where do you want to go? Now you can believe what God said and go to the all in all, or you can not believe what God said and go where God becomes all in all, then you're gone. But you say, Brother Bill, I don't think annihilation's for that after several trillion years. I don't know. Maybe after some months. I want you to see this. Look, he is here. God is here. Alpha and Omega is here. All in all is here. Hard to swallow, isn't it? This is not a bunch of rubber that the harder you chew, the bigger it gets and the harder to swallow. This is honey in the mouth.
Amen.
And it's honey in the stomach.
Amen.
It is not bitter any longer.
Amen.
That's over. The bitterness was done away in Christ. The bitterness is going now.
Mm-hmm.
The softening up is coming. All in all is here. If all in all is here, it has started to end at New Jerusalem, and I am a part of it. The sword of the word is bringing down all strongholds. Yeah. Yeah. See, well, Brother Vail, I always think of that sword destroying nations. I'll ask you a question. For whom is he destroying them? What's God doing with enemies, intruders, false interpreters of word? Why is he separating? We can't coexist. They must go, and we must exist. What is he doing? He's bringing eternal life, immortality. He's restoring a bride, making her finally and completely one with him. You say, that's down the road. I say, the last stretch home has started, for time has run out.
Amen.
The new time of God's clock has started.
Hallelujah.
If you're a part of it, you're going to be there.
Amen.
You believe that this morning?
Amen.
If you believe it, you're going to start changing. Something's going to happen to you. It's going to start in your mind. A hand will reach down, and you'll suddenly realize, where'd it go? He went to the cross. Yeah. Brother, sister, let me encourage you. You're not forsaken of God. God never came to visit judgment on you. He came to save you from judgment.
Amen.
But let me tell you, the same God that came to St. Abraham and allowed the salvation in a temporary way, as it were, of Lot and two daughters was the same one who sent his angels to cause destruction. The word of God that saved is the word of God that destroys. For he said, I kill and I make alive. This morning, God has visited, is visiting his people. I'm standing on that. I cannot change it. I do not look for one bit of evidence. I believe the word of God. For I have already had the irrefutable evidence of vindication. Let us understand this morning, brother, sister. If anybody ever proves anything, it is folly, it is asinine, it is ridiculous and murderous, stupendously ignorant for a man to try to reprove what's proven. Has it been proven to us? And who needs a reproving? If it's been certified? You know, nothing makes me madder than to go to banks where the tellers are so stupid they can't read. And I get a check from Canada, and it says, pay in U.S. funds. And they see a Canadian bank, and they run. I say, look, I try to keep my temper, because I'm a sweet, lovely person. And these are such intelligent people who are in a bank. And I said, it says U.S. funds. They're so scared. They're so unbelieving. Life is here this morning.
Amen.
Can you read the print? He's translated himself into our area to take us back into his. He didn't even put it in fine print. He put it in letters 5 feet high and billboards 15 feet high. He blazed it across the sky. He blazed it across the world. And the prophet said, I'm not riding in that crazy tail saying he's coming. I'm screaming, he's already done come. And the gates of hell are against it, but they shall not prevail. See? It started. And he that hath begun the good work in you will perform it till the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. See that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the apocalypse, the unveiling, when you'll be declared in his presence, guiltless, established, a part of the original foundation, because they've been growing up like pillars, you know, to the very top. We're in those pillars. And there aren't many pillars in a house, brother, sister. But we're a part of it. See? Are you going to recognize yourself this morning? That's the thing. Well, I could talk all day. Look, this is all I live for. This is all I got to preach. Anybody preach anything you want, do anything you want. This is all I know. He is here, bless God. And somehow I am a part of it. In spite of myself, I am a part of it. And he is going to take me there. And somehow, I don't know how, and I cannot tell you, but somehow, resurrection, come on. I'm wanting my share, which is just beyond yours. The Lord bless you this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege of being here. Maybe wearing ourselves, as it were, and wearing ourselves down, but that's wonderful if we can wear out and you can come in. We can step to one side, which is absolutely possible. We honor you this morning, Lord, and we feel, Lord, that you are here. It has come to a realization within the realm of the sensate and the ability to acknowledge. We know that you are here. We're not doubting anymore. And we're at home with the thought and the fact. And though, Lord, we are a little bit diffident in some lines, yet we have confidence in you that you have come. And you've come to a certain end, and we're included. And therefore, Lord, we're so happy with you. Though we'd be unhappy with ourselves, within ourselves, even that's going. We're just happy that you're happy with us. Lord, we've gone back to being little children. Kind of naughty, but like attention and love. And as the prophet said, little children, they're the ones that can learn. And we're learning. And we're learning not to be afraid. We're learning not to say things that are negative. We're learning, Lord, to look at what you told us to look at. And we're learning, Lord, even to look at that which sometimes we're forced to look at that is not a part of us and turn it right around. And we see on the other side of the coin of death, life. Then every time we see death, we scream life. And every time we see tribulation, we scream victory. We're learning, Lord. We're grateful. It's just a tremendous happy time of our existence. No wonder, Lord, songwriter said, teach me, Lord, to wait. And this nice, Lord, that people did wait, but actually we're not waiting any longer because you're here. And we're not waiting on you. We're waiting on those dead to come out of the ground. They're going to come. We're going to see them. But we're so happy, Lord, that you're here. And we're comfortable with the understanding of it. And fear is departing. And these great, beautiful measures of grace are coming in. Now, Lord, as we depart this day, we'll have fellowship around tables and things like that. But brethren and sisters will be going home. Lord, I pray that it won't be cars taking him home so much as angels' wings and eagle wings. That they won't be just abounding in each other's company, but they're going to know the cars filled with angels and the presence of God. And oh, they're going on with you, Lord. And anything in the past doesn't really matter anymore. Who gives a rip? Because everything new has started. Oh, there's a beautiful vision ahead, a beautiful land, a beautiful vista. Brother Branham called panoramic up there just beyond the horizon has started. The glowing colors of the rainbow and the eternal light begun to be painted within the scenario. Now it's coming in. It's all changed. The drama has changed. It's an upswing. And there's no longer the muffled drum and the shuffling feet calling death, death, death. But it's a triumphant step to a new tune. To the new song, as it were, when the prophet heard, "Onward, Christian soldiers." It's not death. It's life. They've gone on, and I know, Lord, this is not a figment of my imagination. This is not the pulsating of a romantic mind. Oh, God, I wish, but I know it'll happen soon. The reality will transcend reality until reality becomes reality. I know that, Lord. That's the way it is, and I thank you for the measure we got. I'm just so happy, Lord, and so glad and so grateful that really, Lord, that I should be able to say with Paul, it doesn't really matter if it's death or famine, no matter what. I've got this wheel within a wheel. And I know, Lord, you got to forgive me if I still got to be hewed out, but I trust you to do it. I trust, Lord, that same hand that reached down has not departed the right moment as fingers of God could flick out devils. The right arm of God deliver all Israel out of Egypt. That same hand can change each individual until there's nothing left to change. And all and in all has come. Oh God, quicken it this morning. Holy Spirit, quicken it to us. Set that clock a little faster, maybe, could be allowed. Although we don't want anyone to miss, we'd have to hang back on that. But Lord, something within us desires a quickening tread as never before to reach that final step. And we're taken off. And we know that, Lord, we know it. And we'll know it as we've never known it before because, Lord, you promised it. I'm standing on that. I'm standing, Lord, that I've preached the right thing in the right way, O God, that it's got to come back upon us. And therefore, Lord, I believe this has got to come back. I know it's going to come back on somebody, all in all. It's got it. He's here. But, Lord, I can't believe for one minute that we would be here listening and knowing, knowledgeable, and not be apart. Quicken that revelation within us that need quickening, Lord. It's been so good to have what we had quickened. But now, Lord, we're looking for the mighty flood tide, the water flowing from the eastern gate from the city. Not waters to ankle, not waters to the knee, not to the loins, but waters to cross over, a tide bearing us up. And I'm looking for that, Lord. Spill it on us this morning, Lord, O God. Pour it on us. Because you've made a vessel that can stand it. I know that. We might not think so, but you don't make mistakes, Lord. You've got vessels here this morning, I believe, that can take that, can stand it. Absolutely. You're not old skins with new wine. I don't believe that, Lord. I believe that's we're the right. And just thanking you now for your presence and all your goodness. Thanking you, Lord, for your sweet spirit coming more and more amongst us until the sick are healed and those things happen. We'd like that right now, but it's all right. It's all right. They'll still be standing here, that sweet spirit. And all over the building, the grace of God manifested, the hand of God moving, proving every item of that great atonement. By His stripes you're healed. Yes, we believe that, Lord. So, Father, we can't thank you enough, can't praise you enough, can't desire, Lord, just enough how quick we'd like to have it come. But, Lord, however and whenever, we know it'll be just exactly right. And unto Thee, therefore, Almighty God, Sovereign, we give You praise and honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
sing that song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You see, we could talk about the Logos, God, being here, but if Jesus hadn't paid the price, He'd be here as our enemy. He'd have to take justice and judgment, but today He's simply dividing between and separating the wheat from the tares. All right. Now listen, we're going to sing it, "He'll never forsake me," or else, "He'll never forsake us." We always try to say, "I'll never forsake Him." That's a pretty big boast. But this morning I can assure you the prophet of God, the word of God, has categorically said that He's not going to leave us. So let's sing it, "He'll never forsake us." He'll never forsake us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never forsake us. Because He ever loved me. We're going to sing it one more time that way. Don't sing it because He first loved me, because He's come for me. That's what it's all about. He's come for us. He hasn't come for any other purpose. He's come to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. He's come to rise with healing in the wings that the prophet said was immortality. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's why He's here. Let's offer back to God, therefore, what He has told us, what He has given us, by offering it back. And if we offer back what is true, let me tell you, that reflected light from the Holy of Holies comes right down and confirms it. Now look, I know what I'm talking about. I'm quoting the prophet, I'm quoting the Bible, I'm quoting experience, I'm quoting the whole thing. Look, we're in all this morning. All right. "He'll never forsake me because He's come for me." You see, Paul prayed He would come amidst those whose hearts He was already in. And he said, "I know He's already there." And hopefully He could come. But you see, He had to come in this day because the bride wasn't in. But the bride could all be in today. I don't know. But if God's put a tug on your heart and you're diffident, you wonder about yourself. This is the time to believe, "Come into my heart." Look, brother, sister, if it's been proven that He came to take a bride away, then there's got to be a bride. Now, if there's any kind of a tug on your heart, see, that's God dealing with you. Repent and be baptized, every one, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's your sealing into the day of redemption. That's temporary. That's temporary until the resurrection. Ours is temporary also till the day of our change. But He who liveth forever is here to raise the dead. See, it goes on and on. There comes a day when that Holy Spirit that seals you and is taken out of the world, it's all finished. And then the bride preaches to the totally lost. There isn't anyone. This morning, there could be those that are on the verge of the totally lost. Don't throw away life this morning, brother, sister. Don't give way to the things of the world. Give way to the things of God this morning. It's much easier. It's a million times easier to believe than disbelieve. Israel disbelieved and look what they went through and died in the wilderness. But those that believed, it wasn't hard at all. They walked right in. Don't look at anything hard. Look at what's for you, brother, sister. As I said last night, you could be 100 lepers. Don't sit around looking at each other, wondering about leprosy. Start looking to Him by whose stripes you're healed. As Brother Brown has said, hold your unwavering faith, or hold the token over your unwavering faith of the promise. He said, hold it. In other words, keep looking. I've looked this way. For years, you know, I've preached the way. I haven't changed my preaching any. I just augmented it. It's increased it. It's more knowledgeable. But I've told you, I've just stood back and watched. Stand back and watch this morning. Hold the token over your unwavering faith. And healing and those things are going to come into alignment. Look, I believe I've got something a million times greater than divine healing. But I'm not going to throw divine healing away. See, don't do it. Oh, the Lord bless you. Let's just sing, "Take the name of Jesus with you." You're dismissed. Somebody start.